And peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson, especially verse 16. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. The two sermons this morning are companion sermons. This one is titled, "Behold the Man Rising," and later on, "Behold the Man Risen," which leads to a thought. And the thought is, what was it like to be in the middle of the events of that day? See, when we talk about Easter, we normally think about it looking back on it. We have the complete and the end of the story, the completion, being in the middle of it all. What would that be like? And among other things, confusing. So we look back on the events of Easter, and we are not able to see the events of Easter without knowing how it would all turn out. For Mary, for Peter and John, for the two on the way to Emmaus, and so on and so on, they did not know. For them, there's a constant shifting of what's going on. So watch how this develops. By the numbers then. Number one, the women going to the tomb to anoint a dead body. Absolutely certain, we'd say it in our day like this, their truth was that Jesus was dead. Number two, something happened with the tomb. The stone is rolled away. Someone's tampered with things. And they run and tell Peter and John. Number three, the body of Jesus is missing. Someone took his body. And at that point on Easter morning, that is their truth. Someone took his body. Number four, Peter and John running to the tomb because the body of Jesus is missing. Something's going on. And you know it can't be good, can it? Number five, they find the tomb open. The body of Jesus is not there, but the linen cloths are still there. Why would someone take the body and leave the cloths? And it's an inexplicable mystery. Notice, pausing at this point, what is completely missing here is any understanding that Jesus was going to rise from the dead bodily. And so they have a missing body, the claws left behind, and they go home with that mystery. Number six, Mary Magdalene stays by the tomb, and she's weeping. At this point for her, the body of Jesus is missing. Who could have done this and why? And as she's weeping, she stoops down to look inside, and there are two angels who ask why she is weeping. They have taken Jesus' body away, and I do not know where they have laid him. They have taken Jesus' body away. And looking at that phrase, historically, there was a practice that the government could take away the body of a troublemaker if they thought his followers might rally around the body and cause more trouble and disturbance. So maybe that's it. The body would then permanently disappear until or unless they needed to prove that he was dead. And now Mary is outside the tomb, and her truth is, he's missing. Somebody took him. It might be the authorities. How could she possibly care for the dead body of Jesus? Number 8. And then Jesus himself is there. Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And at this point, what's the gardener? Maybe he knows. Still not there, is she? And then number 9. Mary. One word changes everything. Everything she thought she knew was wrong. It was wonderfully wrong. It was gloriously wrong. She was wrong about life and death. She was wrong about this life being all there was to be concerned about, and wrong about death being the end. She was wrong about the power of God. God had shown his power in her sight, and that power of God was focused on her now. All the might and power of God had been devoted to winning the victory for her soul, for her eternal life. And it was personal. She was wrong about who God was and who she was. God is the one who created and destined her to walk with God in eternity. That was her destiny. And all of that comes to her in one word, Mary. Jesus had taught her. Over some time, Jesus had taught her through his words, the instruction about heaven, about the Father, about prayer, about the commandment to love, about himself as Christ the Savior. He had taught her through miracles, and she had seen a few of them. And now he taught her by his death and by his resurrection. And again, all of that comes to her in a flash of recognition. Rabboni. John tells us the word rabbi means teacher. We know that the ending, Rabboni, it means my teacher. Why rabbi? Why my teacher? Why not savior? Why not master? Why not, like Thomas a week later, my Lord and my God? What's in that word? Rabboni. Well, Jesus had opened eternal truths to her. And in the instant of knowing Jesus is risen from the dead, she knows every other truth of heaven and eternity, and it's all there, and it is all given to her instantly. And then he sends her, go tell my brothers. And see, the pattern of all of this is that Christianity is a religion of joy and a religion of surprise. It's the joy that Jesus talks about as he says, you will weep and mourn, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. The joy comes in a surprise. surprise. And that's the joy of salvation. And there are more than a few pictures in the Old Testament of it. Abraham on the mountain of Moriah, when the angel of the Lord has just called out to him and told him not to sacrifice his son, but instead on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. And the lamb is there. Salvation. Now, once again on the mountain of the Lord, the lamb is there. Salvation. It's like Moses and the Israelites standing by the Red Sea. And the ones who were coming to kill them are now gone. Mary stands by the tomb. Death, and hell, and the devil, they're defeated and trampled underfoot. Mary, outside the tomb, surprised by life and salvation, suddenly death has been defeated and eternity stretches out in front of her. And then there's Mary running to tell the disciples. Surprise. The Lord is risen. And then it's the two disciples walking to Emmaus. And Jesus goes with them and he explains, and then surprise. Reveals himself to them, and then it's the joy of running back to Jerusalem to tell the others. It's Philip, just having baptized the Ethiopian. And it's Paul telling the Philippian jailer and his family about Jesus. And everything changes. It's our loved ones called out of this life. And in an instant, everything changes. It's no longer death. It's Jesus, seeing Jesus and entering eternal life. And if it is the Lord of life that we have to do with, if it is the victorious Son of God that we are walking with, first, how can we lose? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And it's surprise. Surprise. It's all grace. And the whole creation is being formed and fashioned around the victory of Jesus. For you and for me, I shall not die, but I shall live and sing the praises of God. And all of this in the one simple truth, the one thing that has happened. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.